Sri Aurobindo went to a teacher called Lele. Short conversation with the teacher, and the teacher simply said, thoughts come to you from outside. When they assail you, throw them back. That's all. And Sri Aurobindo knew. It is simply something like what happened to Krishna. Thoughts are like higher knowledge, and you go beyond them, you get to the highest knowledge. You go beyond darkness to higher knowledge, and then you come to the highest knowledge. This is all that Lele told him. Thoughts come to you from outside. When they come into you, throw them back. And Sri Aurobindo said, he just sat down, saw the thoughts coming from outside, and as they began to enter into the brain, he sent them back. And the mind became utterly silent. Thereafter, he had no approach to any teacher in his life. The Supreme Teacher taught him everything. This is what Sri Aurobindo himself has described. Going to Lele was also a concession for him. And the teacher also gave him only one line, that is all. There were no volumes of lectures or anything. Only one line. And Sri Aurobindo knew. And all that is written here, as Sri Aurobindo says, I have written in a state of silence of the mind. Nothing is written by thinking. The whole ocean of knowledge poured into him. Sometimes little by little, sometimes in torrents. So this is the way in which the word is received. One word is sufficient. If you are a good student, one word is sufficient. But we are most of us bad students, so we require lots and lots and lots of lectures. Doesn't matter. As we are made, so we shall do ourselves best. There are cases in which none other is needed. That is, universal teacher himself is enough. No outer teacher is needed at all. For all the rest of the yoga is an unfolding under that constant touch and guidance. The lotus of the knowledge discloses itself from within by the power of irradiating effulgence which proceeds from the dweller in the lotus of the heart. Great indeed, but few are those to whom self-knowledge from within is thus sufficient, and who do not need to pass under the dominant influence of a written book or a living teacher. There are a few people who are capable of this, but we do not come under that category. We need a long influence, long association with a teacher. Ordinarily, the word from without, representative of the divine, is needed as an aid in the work of self-unfolding. And it may be either a word from the past or the more powerful word of the living guru. In some cases, this representative world is only taken as a sort of excuse for the inner power to awaken and manifest. Even when you go to an outer teacher, sometimes it's just a little touch and all the rest is then obtained by you from within. It is as it were a concession of the omnipotent and omniscient divine to the generality of a law that governs nature. Thus it is said in the Upanishads of Krishna, son of Devaki, that he received a word of the Rishi Ghora and had the knowledge. This is a story I told you just now. So Ramakrishna, having attained by his own internal effort the central illumination, accepted several teachers in the different paths of yoga, but always showed in the manner and swiftness of his realization that this acceptance was a concession to the general rule by which effective knowledge must be received as by a disciple from a guru. Because the tradition says that you must be a disciple, you must go to a teacher, so you give a concession to that rule, although you don't need it. Ramakrishna did not need to go to so many teachers. He got the central illumination without going to any teacher, by his own effort, because the teacher was already working in him openly. But he gave a concession, saying, oh, you know, all right, I want to learn from you. It was as if doing some kind of grace on his own teacher, so the teacher may not be disappointed. It's a kind of a concession given to the teacher that you want to teach me, fine, I'm your disciple, please teach me. But the way in which he learned showed that hardly it was necessary. The swiftness with which he learned showed there was no comparison between the teaching of the teacher and the learning by the pupil. The pupil learned so swiftly and so much voluminously that trickle from a teacher was an ocean for him. This can happen only when you don't really need a teacher. The universal teacher is awake within you and you are able to learn from him directly. Now these are the truths, basic truths of yoga. The question was, how do we realize? And this is the basic answer. You realize the divine, God, light, freedom, immortality. We realize by this agency. First through silence, then a concession given to you, a word should come from outside. That word may come from outside or may come from within. Rare are the people who don't require anything more than this. But mostly, generally, we require a long association with a teacher, living teacher. We require long books, long contemplations, long periods of understanding. As we are, so we accept, without pretense. We need not say we are rare individuals, doesn't matter. As we are made, so we are. If you need a long association, we accept it. That also is joy of life. But usually, the representative influence occupies a much larger place in the life of the sadhaka. If the yoga is guided by a received written shastra, some word from the past which embodies the experience of former yogins, it may be practiced either by personal effort alone or with the aid of a guru. if it is by Shastra. If you happen to receive this book, this is Shastra, then once you have received this book and you read it, you can practice by yourself. You don't read anything more. But sometimes you may need a living guru, a living teacher. Even if the book is there, even if you read, you need a help from a living teacher. That is the usual method, to go to a living teacher, to live with the teacher day by day, year after year, decades after decades, and we learn. But attainment is sure, remember. Attainment is sure. Once your feet have been put on the road, the end is certain. You will go to the end. Why? Because He has chosen. Therefore, you are bound to go to the end. The spiritual knowledge is then gained through meditation on the truths that are taught. Now this word meditation is very important. What is meditation? The spiritual knowledge is then gained through meditation. Meditation is a process which has been discovered. It's a great discovery. It's a magic, as it were, a magical key. Like the lamp of Aladdin, or open sesame. You know that little word, open sesame, and the door opens. You just utter the word and the door opens. So meditation is a magic. You just think of the divine, and divine comes to you. Just think of Him. It is only thinking, thought, but produces the real reality of God Himself. This is the connection which was discovered. The divine whom you have not seen, the divine whom you do not know, we are told, you just think of Him. By thinking of Him, a magic will happen. He will come Himself. If you want to know the Divine, just think of Him. Meditate means thinking, basically. So the real process of all yoga is thinking. And we have known, yoga is a methodized effort. Think methodically of the Divine. So meditation is a methodical thinking of the Divine. Don't think of Him haphazard. 1 minute I think and then I forget afterwards. That's not thinking, that's not methodized thinking. There's a constant practice of thinking of the Divine. Let us hear Sri Aurobindo about meditation. What is meditation? Page number 302. This is the page on which Sri Aurobindo begins to describe what is meditation. When you come to this chapter, we shall read the whole chapter very quietly. But since we are only now doing it like an excursion, like a tourist, we shall go to page number 307. Where Sri Aurobindo gives a description of meditation. I think we shall do it tomorrow, all right? I happen to see the watch right now and I thought I already surpassed my time limit. We shall start tomorrow with this, all right? Till the time, suspense. Oh my Lord, tomorrow is a holiday. I think your system of holiday should be abolished. Mother said, you use every day as a holiday. Then what do you do? Pardon? No, no. I don't want to disturb anybody. We shall meet on Monday, all right? And we shall see what is meditation. Fine? Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.